John 16, 1 through 15. I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith, for you will be expelled from the synagogues, and the time is coming when those who kill you will think they are doing a holy service for God. This is because they have never known the Father or me. Yes, I'm telling you these things now so that when they happen, you will remember my warning. I didn't tell you earlier because I was going to be with you for a while longer, but now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Dave. I always appreciated when my parents explained to me why they were doing what they were doing. I think that represents good leadership when we're told why someone is doing what they're doing. Like when my parents came to me when I was 15 years old and told me, this summer, you are going to be going on a mission trip. All summer long. You are going to be on the Amazon River all summer. And I was like, what? You're making me do what? I was really thankful when they explained why they were doing what they were doing. And it was because they wanted me to have a fantastic life experience, get out there and see something of the world outside of Los Angeles, that the world is bigger and that God has a plan. He can use me in that plan. And so finally, I did come around to their way of thinking and had a great summer. But I was glad when they explained why they were doing what they were doing. When we're explained why someone is doing what they're doing, it helps to take it to a different level in our understanding. It helps us to connect to the what when we understand the why. And in this passage, in John chapter 16, that is part of a long conversation, it's all happening on the night before Jesus goes to the cross. This is actually the night that he's going to be betrayed. And we began a number of weeks ago as we were looking at John chapter 13, and 13, 14, 15, 16, and then next week is chapter 17, which is so incredible that it's happening on Christmas Culture Sunday. So beautiful. This is all one long conversation. All one long conversation. But in chapter 16, he stops three different times to say why he is saying what he is saying in this long conversation. He's just about to go to the cross. This is right at the end of his life. And so he's been having this deep conversation with his followers, explaining to them his ways, the ways of Jesus. And he's saying it in a manner which they won't forget. And he stops and tells us the why. And here's three things that he says in chapter 16 about the why. The first one is verse 1. And he says this, I have told you these things so you won't abandon your faith. Because he's been telling them, hey, I'm going to the cross. I'm about to leave. It would have been very easy at that point for Christianity to have had a very abrupt ending right there, right? Jesus is like, I'm out of here. I'm going to the cross. It's going to be very scary. It's going to be very trying times. It'd be very easy for them to have just said, well, this was a very interesting 3-year run, but it ends right now. But Jesus said, I want you to understand these things that I've been speaking to you so deeply that you won't abandon your faith. Because guess what? It's not just going to be hard for me in these next hours as I go to the cross. You're going to find it's going to be hard for you too. This is going to be a challenging season. In fact, he says, for you will be expelled from the synagogues. In other words, you're not going to be welcome in church anymore. Because they'd all grown up, right? Going to synagogue is part of their culture and, of course, a part of their deep religious practice. You're going to be expelled. And more than that, people are going to kill you. And in their killing of you, they're going to think they're actually doing God's work. This is heavy. And then there are places in the world where what Jesus said all the way back in John chapter 16 is still happening even in our world today. I don't know that we in our country will ever experience this reality, but there are places in the world where this very thing is still happening today, that Christians are being killed and that the people doing the killing actually think they're doing God's work. Jesus said it was going to be this way. And he said why, that he was telling us, I'm telling you so that you don't abandon your faith when things get hard. And then two other times, he also stops and says why he's saying what he's saying. And so if you go to that next slide, we see also in John 16, verse 4, and then at the very end of the chapter in verse 33, first he says, yes, I am telling you these things now so that when they happen, for they will, I am foretelling what is going to take place. When they happen, you're going to remember my warning. Oh, that's right. Jesus said it was going to be this way. And then at the very end of the chapter, he comes back one more time with a why and says this, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Not only will you not abandon your faith when things get really difficult, when there's damning things, terrible things that are happening to you and around the world, but more than just not abandoning your faith, you're actually going to be able to rest in me. Have peace in me, even in the day of trouble. Because he says, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world, so you may be at peace. What he's saying here in the why of these things, He's reminding us that the ways of Jesus are never intended to be easy. But that's okay, because, hey, guess what? Life ain't easy. Before you gave your life to Jesus, was life easy? Probably not. Unless, like me, you were 3 years old when you gave your life to Jesus, then I look back and I go, I don't remember it being too difficult before I gave my life to Jesus. But listen, I've known so many people that, you know, they describe a life that was really difficult, you know, before they gave their life to Jesus. Faced all kinds of troubles, all kinds of difficulties. Like Jesus said, all kinds of trials and sorrows, right? But when we give our life to Jesus, what he's saying here is it's not that the trials and sorrows end. It's that we have a faith that is rooted in the one who not only faced trials and sorrows, but overcame and is with us. Can you just say, he is with me? And because he is with me in my trials and sorrows, I can be at rest and at peace in him. Whenever we're facing trouble, we can remember, Jesus, you are the truth. Not only what you speak is true, but you are the truth. And so when we see things happening just the way he said they would happen, we're reminded, oh, wow, Jesus, you said it was going to be like this, didn't you? Jesus, you are the truth. And the second thing we can remember when we face trouble is that he faced trouble. But yet, he was the overcomer. And because he is with me, I can be at peace. So he stops these three times in this long conversation and reminds them why I'm telling you what I'm telling you. But what is he telling us in this? Well, we've been looking, chapter 13, 14, 15, and now 16, we've been looking at this long conversation that we'll wrap up next week. But during this long conversation, over and over, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And if you would take out the little handout that you have, this is what we're going to be looking at this morning. And I know that throughout this whole series on the ways of Jesus, we've been going through the book of John together. We've been just looking at one chapter at a time. But what we did over the past few messages is we strategically left out the parts about the Holy Spirit, because I wanted to come back at the end of this, these mentionings of the Holy Spirit in this dialogue, and kind of really take a full message and bear down on those, really drill down into what was Jesus saying about the Holy Spirit. But before we do, I want to remind us why he's telling us about the Holy Spirit and why he was telling his followers about the Holy Spirit right before he went to the cross. He was telling them because he wanted them to be reminded that I am not leaving you alone. I will be with you through the power and presence and person of the Holy Spirit, who will be with you always. And right there in chapter 16, there's this one verse that we'll use kind of as a kickoff to this conversation. It's right there at the top of your handout. And in John 16, verse 7, Jesus says the most astounding thing to his followers. He says this. He says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate, and we're going to see when he uses that word advocate, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. We'll go back and you'll see that. Because if I don't go away, the advocate won't come. Hey, but if I do go away, then I'm going to send him to you. I can just imagine they're sitting there. They haven't even cleaned up from the Last Supper yet. Their feet are still wet from, right, Jesus washing their feet, and he's talking to them. And he's saying, hey, guess what, guys? It's going to be the best for you if I go away. I can just imagine them looking at each other around the table and going, is he serious? This is your best to leave us? Because, Jesus, we've only been with you a few years. I think we have a lot more to learn. We have a lot more to experience. It's like we're just catching on right now that you are God. You are who you say you are. And now you're telling us you're going to leave. But Jesus says, hey, guys, I need you to know this is for your best that I'm leaving. This is for your advantage that I am leaving. Why would that be the case? Well, number one, it's the departing part. When Jesus said, I'm leaving. Listen, if he did not die and resurrect, there would be no gospel. There would be no good news. We would not be here this morning together if Jesus had not departed. He had to go to the cross, right? To pay for the penalty of all of the world's sin and brokenness, taking it upon his shoulders. And then returning, resurrecting, conquering death, and returning to his Father in heaven. Without that, there's no good news. There's no gospel. It is to your advantage. It is best that we're doing it this way. And part of that, as painful as it is going to be, is going to require me to depart. I'm leaving. It's to your advantage. I'm not doing this for my advantage. I'm doing this for your best. But then the second thing of why he would say that this is an advantage is because he said, when I go, I'm going to be sending you my Holy Spirit. This one he called the Advocate. When Jesus took on humanity, remember, we're celebrating here in the Christmas season, the incarnation, Jesus, the God of the universe, coming to earth in human form. When he took on humanity to come to earth, he laid aside all of those godly attributes like, omnipresence, like where he could be everywhere at once. No, he laid that aside to come in human form. So he was flesh and blood like you and me. Because of that, there was a great limitation placed upon him when he embraced humanity. But he said, when I leave, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. And guess what? There is no limitations on the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has no limitations upon him. He's with me when I go home today. But he's with you when you go home today. When you go to work, when you go to school, when you go caroling through our neighborhood this evening. When you go to Mexico as a missionary. And believers all around the globe today say, he is with me. Just like we can declare. And that is because Jesus returned to the Father and sent his Holy Spirit. So that we never have to be alone in our journey. That we never, when we face trials and sorrows, we are not alone. He is with us. It is to our advantage. During these chapters, there are several things, numbers of things that Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. And what we're going to do is we're going to very quickly look at six things that Jesus said, starting back in John 14, and we're going to just march very quickly through as a reminder about the Holy Spirit and what he does in our lives. But let me tell you, this is not comprehensive. This is not everything that we could learn or know about the Holy Spirit. But these are things that Jesus was saying right here on the night before he went to the cross, saying, don't forget. Don't forget these things about this gift that I'm giving you, the very Spirit of God himself that is going to come to be with you. Six things that he says. The first three we'll reflect on in this passage, John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And Jesus says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Would you say that, another advocate? Who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Three things from that. One is that the Holy Spirit is called another advocate. Now, when Jesus use that word another, it was a very specific word. He could have chosen a different word for another. Like how we would say, we're going to get another piece of furniture for our house. Okay, that's nice, but that furniture could be a chair, it could be a table, it could be a bed, it could be whatever is needed at the moment. But it's another thing. We're adding another thing. But that is not the word that Jesus chose to use when he said, I'm sending you another advocate. He used the term that meant exactly like, just like, another advocate just like me. That is so good and so important for us to know. Because the Holy Spirit is not a different God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we use that word Trinity to help our small little pea-brained human-sized minds to comprehend this amazing reality that God is manifest in a way that goes beyond our limited understanding, expressed through God the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus saying, he is just like me. So when the Holy Spirit comes to bring encouragement, it is just like Jesus coming to bring encouragement. Or when the Holy Spirit comes and brings conviction, challenging us, reminding us of the truth that, hey, you're walking in the wrong direction, is just like Jesus coming and saying, hey, remember, walk in my ways. When the Holy Spirit comes and brings power to his people and empowers them and gifts them for works of ministry, it is just like Jesus saying, I am giving you all of myself, all of my power. Receive it. Because he is another advocate, meaning Jesus was also our advocate. What does this word advocate mean? Advocate, in some translations, if you were to open your Bible and you're reading along, you might see another couple of words that might be chosen to put in there. One is helper. Some translators have translated the word, the Greek word paraclete, to be helper. Or other translations use the word counselor. Those are all beautiful words, and we could explain why those translators chose those words, but advocate is a really good translation. The one who fights on your behalf. It is a word that is used like in legal settings, like if you were in a courtroom and you had an advocate that was standing up and saying, no, you don't understand. You are accusing the wrong individual. Because we know from Scripture that there is an accuser. It's Satan. It's the devil. That he is your accuser. He is saying things about you from your past or from behaviors that are saying, that person is terrible. Who you call yourself a Christian? Who do you think you are? But we have an advocate in the Holy Spirit. We have someone who is fighting on our behalf. We have the one who is saying, no, you don't understand, devil, because Nico has been bought with a price. Because Jesus went to the cross on Nico's behalf. And so you are the righteousness of Christ. We have an advocate who stands up on our behalf and fights for us, saying, John, you have been forgiven. Yes, you've blown it a million times, but my grace is sufficient for you. Amen? We have an advocate who stands on our behalf and fights for us. That you are forgiven. You are the righteousness of Christ. And greater is he who is within you, Jessica, than he who is in the world. Christ has overcome, and his Spirit is advocating for you and for me. He is our advocate. The other thing he says, number two, the second thing about the Holy Spirit that he reminds us of in this passage is that he will never leave us. The Holy Spirit will never leave you. I'm sending another advocate, and he will never leave you. Remember, he's just been telling them, I'm leaving. I am departing. 24 hours from now, I'm going to be hanging on a cross. But this Holy Spirit, my Spirit, another advocate, guess what? He will never leave you. Even when you are doing things that are foolish, even when you're sinning, and your ways that you're choosing are not my ways. He said, I'm still not going to ever leave you. My Spirit will be with you. Some of us need to hear that. That even when we've chosen to walk our own way, even when we're doing things that we'd be embarrassed to admit that we're doing, he does not withhold his Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. We can kind of push the Holy Spirit back at arm's length and kind of hold, but guess what? He's always right there. He's always pursuing. He is always available. He is always wanting to bring his love and encouragement, and when needed, that challenge, that conviction and correction. But he will never leave us. He is our constant help, advocating for us no matter what's going on in our life and our story. The third thing that Jesus says here is that he leads into all truth. In John chapter 14, just a little prior to this verse that we're looking at, Jesus had declared this. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But here, he's saying that the Holy Spirit is being given to actually lead you into those things. He will lead you into all truth. I am the truth, and I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to lead you to me. Catch the weight of that. It's like, I am the truth, Jesus says, but then he says, I'm giving you my Spirit who's going to lead you into all truth. Whatever you need from me, Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit is going to illuminate that to you. We've been looking at several different truths about the ways of Jesus as we've been going through the book of John. And the first one that we've talked about is that the ways of Jesus are illuminated by God. That he doesn't want to keep his ways hidden from us so that we would have to wonder or guess, am I living right? Am I making the right kinds of decisions that would glorify God? The ways of Jesus are illuminated by God. One of the main ways that he illuminates his ways is right here. I am giving you my Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit, friends, is given to us in order to lead us into all truth and into his ways. We don't have to wonder if we are walking in the ways of Jesus because the Holy Spirit has been given to us to remind us and to encourage us and to affirm us as we are walking in his ways. And we go further then in John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus also said this. He says, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. Pretty big deal. He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. So number four, the fourth thing that Jesus tells us there is that the Holy Spirit will teach you everything. Now that's a lot. Everything. I would not claim to know everything. But here's what I will tell you and remind myself, that whatever that I need to know in a given moment, the Holy Spirit will bring me whatever information and instruction that I need in that moment so that I will never be at a loss. His Spirit will teach us everything. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It's a powerful statement, and I wonder if the Apostle Paul was even thinking about what Jesus said here, recorded in the book of John, when he said this. The Apostle Paul wrote, and he said this to the church. He said, the scriptures say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, sometimes we can read that when we're talking about heaven, like how wonderful it's going to be. You know, man, you can't even imagine how great it's going to be. But here's what Paul goes on to say. He says, yeah, you're right. No eye has seen it, no ear has heard it, no mind can even imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things. How? Come on. By his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything. His Spirit searches out what? Everything, and shows us God's deep secrets. The very things that we need to know. I don't know, maybe not about nuclear biology or, I don't know, astrophysics. I don't know, maybe I don't know, need to know those things because the Holy Spirit has not revealed those things to me. He has not taught me everything about those things. But everything that I need to know for my life, to walk in his wisdom, to walk in his counsel, everything that I need to know about walking in his ways, which are the ways that lead to life. Everything that I need to know, I can be confident of this, that the Holy Spirit searches out those things, the very deep things, the secret things of God, and will teach them to me right when I need them. Because the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will teach you everything. Everything that you need to know. And this other thing, number five, not only will he teach you everything that you need to know, he's going to be your reminder. He's going to remind you of everything that I have said. I love that because I want to be reminded. I long to be reminded of the things that Jesus has said. We've been going through the book of John now for a number of weeks. In fact, this is part 19 on this series, The Ways of Jesus, looking at a chapter at a time through the book of John. You're like, well, how do we get to 19 if we're only in John 16? Well, that's because we did some pre-work, some prep work on the ways of Jesus before diving into the book of John. Jesus has said so many things that I need to remember. Jesus has spoken his truth to me, spoken to me so much about his ways, but I need to be reminded, and I need to be reminded in the moment when I'm feeling discouraged, when I'm going through trials, when I'm experiencing deep sorrow. I need to be reminded, and he has given me another advocate, one who will never leave me, one who is that Holy Spirit reminder, saying, hey, don't forget. Don't forget. I have not abandoned you. I am with you. Don't forget. Going to chapter 16, one other verse I want to look at. One other place in this one conversation, the night before Jesus is betrayed. And he talks more in chapter 16 about the Holy Spirit. And he says this in verse 8. He says, and when he comes, this other advocate. He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is to bring conviction. Conviction is different than when we think about another C word, and that is condemnation. Conviction and condemnation might sound similar, but they have the opposite result. The enemy is the one that brings condemnation. The enemy of our soul, the devil, wants to condemn us. He reminds us of things that are wrong in our lives to speak death over us. And that's kind of what condemnation is. You are a sinner, you're broken, you're messed up, you're going to hell, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. That's condemnation. Condemnation, when we sin and when we're dealing with condemnation, here's how you know. It makes you want to turn away from God rather than toward God. When I'm feeling condemned, I don't even want to look God in the face, right? I don't want to turn toward him because I know I'm carrying this sin, I'm carrying this shame, right? I take the shame upon myself. That's never the voice of the Holy Spirit. When we hear a condemning voice, we can know it's never the voice of God. Because the voice of God brings something called conviction. Conviction does take out that like Holy Spirit highlighter. Like saying, hey, this area of your life right here, kind of circle that. Because that's not of my ways. These are not ways that are walking towards life. That's going to actually lead you towards death. We need to work on that, don't we? I'm here to help you work on that. Conviction, rather than turning away from God, conviction will always remind us to turn toward God. That he's already the one who paid for my sin. That every time that I mess up, I can be reminded, oh, God, thank you that I can walk in your forgiveness. Thank you, God, that I don't have to journey on my own. I don't even have to try to fix all my own problems. You are the one who has gone to the cross to fix everything for all eternity. And all I need to do is to be reminded of your goodness, your sacrifice, your provision for me. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. That is what conviction will stir in our hearts. And it says these three things. He says he's going to convict the world of sin, of God's righteousness, and the coming judgment. I love the fact that Jesus right here reminds all of us that it is the Holy Spirit's job to convict the world of sin, not yours. Oh, not mine. It is not your job or my job to go to our neighbor's door. Hey, all that partying you're doing, all those vehicles I see coming and going, all that stuff that's happening in your life that's all busted and broken up, it is not our job to convict the world of sin. It's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is to love others and to share the freeing power of the gospel with them. That Jesus came, that he died on the cross for you and for me, so you don't have to mess with all that stuff that leads to death. And guess what? He's giving you his Holy Spirit to empower you, and so you'll never walk alone. That's our job. It's the Holy Spirit's job then to come along people's lives at just the right time and remind them, hey, this area in your life that is not walking according to my ways, I want to take that on in your life right now. That addiction that you're dealing with, I'm not here to bring condemnation about it. I'm here to set you free. Let's deal with that now. We get to love and leave the convicting of sin up to the Holy Spirit. Now, do remember, it says he'll convict the world of sin. There's other places in Scripture we see that within the church, like those who are saying, hey, I'm following Jesus, that if we spot a brother or sister who is struggling in sin and who is walking a life that is outside the ways of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will use us to lovingly come alongside, nudge them, and say, hey, let's talk about this. That ain't the way that you're to be walking. In fact, I was reading in Thessalonians this week where the Apostle Paul is even talking to a church, the church that would happen to be in the city of Thessalonica, saying, hey, I hear that there's some people in the church that are living some pretty messed up lives. He says this, don't even associate with them. Whoa, that sounds really harsh. But then he says, do that to awaken something in their own heart that they might return to Jesus, to return to the ways of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit will use us within the church to help each other. It's called accountability. That is, we're part of this family, that we have brothers and sisters that are going to help us walk out our lives, not bringing condemnation. Because we don't need to take on the work of the adversary of our souls. But we get to partner with the advocate who fights on my behalf and on your behalf. Not good? The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. He also convicts the world of God's righteousness. And that just means that he reminds every person that you're not righteous, but there is one who is. Jesus came as the righteous one, the one who never sinned, so that he could take all sin to the cross and deal with all sin for all time. He is the righteous one. And the Holy Spirit is reminding people not only of sin, but of a means of redemption, that there is a righteous one. And then it says he will convict the world of the coming judgment. So he reminds the world that at one point in the future, there will be a day that we all will have to stand before the righteous one who is good and is loving and is gracious and is merciful. But there's a judgment that will be coming when he's going to look at our lives. Not the behavior so much of our lives, because all of us have done some things that have been pretty jacked up. But he's going to be looking at our lives and saying, did you believe in me? Did you put your trust in my son? In fact, in this last chapter that we're looking at today, in chapter 16, in verse 9, Jesus said this, the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. I want you to hear that. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. He didn't say the world's sin is sleeping around. Or the world's sin is getting addicted to all kinds of uppers and downers and all the stuff to try to dull the pain of life. He didn't say that this, you know, the world's sin is their pride or their greed or their hatred. No, he said this. He said, the world's sin is this, that they refuse to believe in me. It is not your behavior that keeps you from Jesus. It's what you're believing in. It's not your behavior that will keep you out of heaven. Because like I said, all of us have done some things that were pretty jacked up. What keeps us from heaven is refusing to believe that there is a righteous God who has paid the price for you and for me, and that because of his sacrifice, we can be free in him, and we can have salvation in him. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to teach us everything, to remind us of everything that he said, to advocate on our behalf, to bring conviction. Reminding us, yeah, there's sin, but we have a righteous God And one day we get to stand before him. And every one of us who have put our trust in him and put our belief in him, chosen him, we get to enter his glory for eternity.